Hey Google, what is the chief end of man?
Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever.
Yeah, I'm on a mission like a couple spies, and that guys is the reason why I catechize.
Welcome to the Reformed Standard. I'm Tony. Let's get started. Question 65 of the Westminster Larger Catechism reads, what special benefits do the members of the invisible church enjoy by Christ? And the answer is, the members of the invisible church by Christ enjoy union and communion with him in grace and glory. This question has a lot of theology packed right into it, even before you get to the answer. And so we have to recognize that all of the benefits that the members of the invisible church enjoy are by Christ. So we sometimes have this tendency to separate Christ from his benefits. So we think about salvation, we think about fellowship with the Father, we think about freedom from sin and death, ultimate freedom from the devil and from persecution and tribulation. But we don't think about the fact that those benefits are all sort of benefits that flow out of our chief benefit of faith, or our chief benefit that we get, which is communion and union with Christ. And so here, the question itself implies that these benefits, the benefits that we receive, are by Christ. But then it says explicitly here that the members of the invisible church by Christ enjoy union and communion with him in grace and glory. So we receive from Christ, we receive union with him. Our union with Christ is the ground of all of the other benefits of salvation, but it is also the chief benefit that we receive. And more than just union, more than just some sort of ontological or relational union, we receive communion. And the distinction there is that union, you know, you can have union that is not necessarily positive, but communion itself is already a term that denotes fellowship and warm, loving unity. So you may have union with the state as a criminal. You have a union in that you are obligated to them in a particular way that's covenantally bound when you're committed to a jail cell or to a prison, but you don't enjoy communion with the state. And so in the invisible church, all the members of the invisible church, and here there's different theological ways to look at this. You can talk about the union that the elect have in eternity past in the mind of Christ, that the Father, the Son, and the Spirit comprehend all of the elect in union with Christ. There's a union that is sort of existent in the mind of Christ as he considers those in the future who he would redeem. Or I think this is probably closer to what the divines had in mind, even though they define the invisible church as not only those who have been or are gathered into the one head, but also will be. I think here that these benefits that we're seeing are particularly benefits that those who are regenerate, so those who have already been gathered into the church, into Christ, those who are already in this real mystical union with Christ, they enjoy this union and they enjoy this communion with him, both in grace and in glory. So we're talking about in grace, primarily talking about those who are still alive, who have not yet passed into glory, and then those who already exist in heaven with Christ in glory.
You know, if you want, you could know this. The catechism, hey, the catechism, hey. Do you know what the chief end of man is? And how the Father, Son, and Spirit do manage? Do you know if you want, you could know
West Side.